Please turn Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 12 for our second reading. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, and even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Interesting passage. I know that we probably should not have favorite chapters of Scripture, but this is one of my favorites. I think as I think on it, I think that as I have meditated upon this passage, I have gained a lot of really interesting things that I found helpful. I think it's a great passage. So, notice that there is an occasion, and then there's the reality. This is one thing that, if you think about this passage, you'll see is so very instructive. Moses takes an Ethiopian wife. There's no problem with that. I was interacting a while back with a man who believed that all interracial marriage was forbidden by God. And to hear those people that believe such things talk about Numbers 12 is, well, I don't mean any disrespect here, but it's almost comical, the tap dancing that goes on. Moses takes an Ethiopian wife, and there's nothing wrong with that. Miriam and Aaron murmur about Moses' wife. And the implication of the passage is that they murmur privately to one another. Because it says, and the Lord heard it. It doesn't seem that they publicly came out against Moses, but privately they had a problem. And then publicly they came out with something else. You see, there was the occasion and the real problem. The occasion was him taking an Ethiopian wife, but the real problem was, they said, Has the Lord only spoken to Moses? Has he not also spoken to us? You see what's going on here, right? There's a little bit of sibling rivalry, if you will. Remember that Moses is younger than Aaron and younger than Miriam. And so here then, they speak up against their little brother, who all of a sudden, it appears, has God's special ear. Hasn't God spoken to us too? And the Lord heard it. And the Lord's answer is just fascinating. But before we get to the Lord's answer, there's a parenthesis in the passage, and it is one of the most curious parentheses in the entire Bible. Now, the man Moses was very meek. In fact, the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Now, when you consider that Moses is the author of the Pentateuch, it kind of makes you wonder, could Moses himself have written that? And many scholars have said, well, absolutely not. That would be Moses writing out a contradiction. It would not be meek to say, you're the meekest man on the face of the earth. Please, in my own humility, I'm tired of talking about me a while. Why don't you talk about me a while? Right? What's so very interesting about the passage is that there are some faithful scholars that say, no, Moses wrote as he was told from the Spirit of God, which is entirely possible. The second option is that Joshua edited the Pentateuch under the inspiration of the Spirit of God and added that phrase, added that parenthetical there, because he was rightly witnessing to Moses' meekness. Those are the only two orthodox views. Any views outside of that, you don't even need to listen to them. But it's either that Moses wrote that under the direction of the Spirit of God and probably blushed as he wrote it, or that Joshua wrote it and inserted it at the inspiration of the Spirit of God when he was given those books that Moses had written at Moses' death, and he became the caretaker and copyist of them. So, take your pick there with the two views. But isn't that a quaint little thing to think about? Moses himself writing, now the man Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. All right, so then, in verse 4, the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, come on up here to the tabernacle, you three. And so here they go. So the Lord has called them out. So notice who takes up the defense. Well, you wouldn't expect the meekest man upon the face of the earth to take up his own defense, would you? Well, that's true. Moses is not the one who takes up his own defense. God takes up his defense. And remember the complaint of Miriam and Aaron? Oh, well, the Lord's spoken to us too, hasn't he? And the Lord says, not like I've spoken to Moses. And here we have this wonderful and unique relationship that Moses had with God because, not of any efficacy in him, but because he was a type of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord says, listen, when I speak to my prophets, I speak to them in a dark saying, in a vision, and in a dream. That's how I generally speak to my prophets, but not Moses. With him, I will speak like two men standing talking face to face, peh le peh, mouth to mouth. I speak, he answers. I speak, he answers. We have a unique prophetic relationship. It's not like anyone else. So Miriam and Aaron, while you may say, has not the Lord spoken unto us as well, keep within this understanding that I have not spoken to any other prophet in the way that I've spoken to Moses. I will speak to him as a man speaks with his friend, and I don't speak to any other prophet like that. Wow. That's an amazing statement. What makes it even more amazing, and you've heard me say this before, I hope you'll remember, is that in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18, Moses is prophesying there, and he says, the Lord God is going to raise up from among your brethren a prophet like unto me, and him shall you hear in everything that he says. And the man that won't hear that prophet will be cut off from his people. Well, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul quotes Deuteronomy 18:18 and says, you know who Moses was talking about? He was talking about Christ. Moses, in his face-to-face relationship with God, was a type of Jesus Christ. And when John would describe the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was pros ton theon, face to face with God. And the Word was God. You see, Moses entertained that special relationship with God because Moses was a type of Christ. Moses witnesses to it in Deuteronomy 18. The New Testament apostles witness to it in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul specifically. And John, the apostle, speaks about Christ in the same way that the Lord spoke about Moses, that the relationship was a face-to-face relationship between them. Of course, the difference between Moses and Christ is that Christ entertained that relationship for all of eternity. He has always been face-to-face with his Father. So then, after saying that and delineating the special relationship that God has with Moses, then the Lord answers, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Oh, you knew he wouldn't rise up in his own defense. You knew that he wouldn't say anything. Maybe that's why you weren't afraid. But because of the position that he enjoys, you should have been. You should not have said what you said. And so the Lord rises to the defense of Moses, even though Moses will not. And so then the conversation takes a worse turn, and they turn to look at Miriam. Her whole body is leprous. Now, some commentators have wondered why Aaron wasn't also made leprous. And there are several reasons. Perhaps Miriam was the instigator. Perhaps she was the forceful one. The text doesn't say, but she certainly got the brunt of the punishment. It may also have been that the Lord considered the mercy, or his mercy, upon his people. Because if he would have rendered his high priest leprous, that means that there was no more high priest. And so it's quite possible that the Lord spared Aaron the leprosy because of his office. And he did that in mercy to the Israelite people. So then Aaron looks at Moses. Notice he's learned his lesson. He doesn't go straight to the Lord and to pray. He says, Moses, look what's happened to Miriam. Please do something. You see what happened? That no longer has Aaron taken up that mantle to himself and said, has the Lord not only spoken to us, but he turns to Moses and says, Moses, please intercede for her. And so Aaron gets the point, doesn't he? And so then Moses intercedes for her. O Lord, I beseech thee, heal her now. Moses is very insistent at that point. And the Lord says, and this is one of those little brother moments that you have to think for a moment to get. If her father had but spit in her face, in other words, if her father had dishonored her, she would be dishonored for 7 days. She dishonored you, Moses, so let that dishonor come upon her. In other words, she should have considered you to be a father. Instead, she thought of you like a little brother. And so let her remain out of the camp for 7 days. And then at the end of the 7 days, she will come in. And then note also that sin becomes public in its nature, because the entire company waits for Miriam for 7 days until she can come back into the camp before they can continue their travels. And so that becomes then a public lesson for everyone, that they all would have the kind of esteem for the officer that God has placed in that temporal mediatorship, Moses, that they ought to have, and not speak against him anymore. Thus ends the reading of Numbers chapter 12. I told you that was a rich little, just the shortest little passage. What is it, 15 verses? Very, very rich, however. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.